Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Wednesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better. Today's guest is Pastor Victor Nelson. Pastor Victor Nelson is the fifth pastor of the Resurrection Lutheran Church in Cairo, New York, and began serving there in 1994. Prior to that, he was a pastor for 10 years at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Gowanda, New York. Before becoming a pastor, Victor worked as a physical therapist in a large cancer hospital. He saw the need for people of all ages to have the hope and love of Jesus, and the need for people to have the light of God in the midst of very dark situations. The Lord led him to leave his profession as a physical therapist and go to seminary to study to be a pastor. Since then, he has had many opportunities to share the love, hope, and the light of Jesus to people of all ages in various circumstances of life. One of Pastor's favorite Bible verses is taken from Psalm 145:4, "One generation shall commend your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts." This verse reminds him that Resurrection Lutheran Church is a place where one generation shares the good news of God with the next generation. Victor is blessed to be married to his wife, Marcia, for over 38 years. They have four adult children, a wonderful daughter-in-law, a great son-in-law, and three terrific grandchildren, with one on the way. In his spare time, he enjoys playing sports such as basketball, tennis, or just about any other competitive sport. He also loves to read theology and history. Pastor, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Mike and Andy. Glad to be here.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you here, sir. So, you're a competitive sportsman?
Not so much anymore, but I try.
Give yourself a break. You're not exactly a spring chicken anymore.
Well, we were asking, you came to record today, sneakers and a sweatshirt. What were you doing before you got here?
I was playing a little bit of basketball, some young guns.
And can you dunk?
I've lost that ability. Maybe I never had that ability.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait a minute.
The last time I dunked something, it was a biscuit into my tea.
Yeah, that'd be remarkable. I never could dunk.
No?
I'm only 6 feet tall. But
you dunked about 10 minutes ago from that coffee house up the road there.
I am a fan of a particular brand of coffee here in America. You could say that America runs on it.
Yeah, and you were there.
And I was
there. So you did dunk?
I did. Indeed, I did. So, Pastor, you enjoy reading history. Have you read any books on history recently?
Yeah, I just finished a book about General John Pershing. People don't know much about General John Pershing. And I imagine most of the listeners say, maybe I heard that name. Well, his personality was a harsh taskmaster. He just expected his soldiers to be perfect in terms of their dress, their appearance, and their equipment, everything. And if you were out of line, he was going to dress you down. So he was despised and hated by many people. But yet that harsh taskmaster that he was, that edge that he had, was what was needed in order to win World War I and defeat the enemy, the German Empire, at that particular point in time.
There was actually, I remember reading, Wilson ordered Pershing, I think, to keep the U.S. military separate and distinct from the other Allied forces in World War I, and he stuck to that. They seemed to have a good relationship.
Well, the French and the English despised him because he wouldn't break that order, because he agreed totally with the order. No American troops were going to be under the French or the British authorities. And because of that, again, he was hated internationally.
I think that's one of the things that when you do go to a war, into a war situation with multi countries, then there is going to always be that, well, who's going to be the leading country when it comes to authority? Or are each country going to have their own authorities? But what you then would have then would be differences in standards. So I think inevitably that was something that was always going to happen.
Right.
You know, interestingly, one of the things that caused the United States to enter World War I was the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. Russia had been allied with the British and French, but then had their communist revolution. and they made a peace treaty with Germany. So Germany was able to really hang on fighting a two-front war. But now, with the Russians gone, they could focus all their military on that Western front. Mm-hmm. And America felt inclined to, you know, make the world safe for democracy and help these countries. And, you know, on the topic of communist Russia, that kind of takes us to our first song. It's Rocky's theme, Gonna Fly Now, which is featured in all the Rocky movies. And I couldn't help but think about Ivan Drago. I will break you. And you know, I think kind of silly. Rocky goes to the Soviet Union, and then they're cheering him on when he's, you know, pummeling their steroid science project of a boxer.
I'm actually intrigued. Why did you pick this song?
Well, to me, it's a clarion call. It's a call to people to keep fighting,
right?
Not to give up. The odds may be against you. Maybe difficult, maybe really a challenge, but you don't give up. This when you hear this song, you're reminded to keep fighting, right. Keep moving.
So when people are fighting against adversity, and that could be from anything, from something minor to something more serious, because I know that you used to work with people who were victimized with cancer. You know, they'd been struck down with cancer. So it could be something like that to somebody maybe not being able to find a job, or somebody falling down and cutting their knee. So it could be anything in the adversity.
Right. Any challenge that is before us. This song just reminds me we don't give up.
Right.
We keep on battling, keep on pushing, keep on doing the best we can within the abilities that we have. And that's why I like this song. It's just a call to keep moving, keep fighting, keep going forward and not giving up.
Like
when you were playing basketball tonight, was this theme in your head?
I should have had it. Maybe I would have won. Well, Rocky lost a lot, number of times.
Have you ever ran up the stairs in Pennsylvania? Is it Pennsylvania?
It is Philadelphia.
Philadelphia Library. I have run up the stairs at the Philadelphia Library. Yes.
Did you jump up and down at the top?
Yes, with my children. We pulled the car over and ran up the stairs. And
the beginning, be honest, at the beginning, did you go,
I'm sure we did. It was quite a few years ago, but I'm sure that was a part of the process, yeah. And I'm not encouraging people to go out and box with this song, except to keep fighting in their own lives. That's the encouragement, I think.
Hear, hear.
We'll be right back.
That was the theme from Rocky. To me, it's kind of similar to the theme song, a theme tune in Jaws. The minute you hear it, you know exactly what it is. You know what it is. Same with Jaws. So, you know, as you were saying, Pastor, at the beginning, when we're talking about it, that little bit at the beginning, it kind of G's you up and, you know, and when you're trying to find that extra bit of energy, doesn't it? So your next item is a pair of binoculars.
Well, you're in the Catskills. You want to see all kinds of things. Yeah. Things that are close up that you can walk to, but sometimes there are deer or other animals that are distant you can't get close to. So you want to get as close as you can, and the binoculars help you to do that.
Yeah.
Ranges, if you climb a little higher, you can see across other ranges. You can see, depending upon where you are, you can see into Albany. You can see down the Hudson River. So just depending upon your location in the Catskill Mountains where you're walking, you want to be able to see up close and far away.
And do you take your binoculars with you on a regular basis, just in case there's something that you want to have a look at?
When I go on a hike, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And in our house, we have a binocular that's very close to a closet. I can just grab it out and look at the wild turkeys at the end of the driveway or the deer at this location or whatever it is. Just, it's kind of, you know, you see these creatures, they're beautiful, and you want to kind of
look at them up close?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what kind of binoculars do you have? Are you...
I have ones that have two good for two eyes.
hence the buy.
Bushnell
ones, yeah. Yeah.
Nothing real elaborate, nothing, you know, right. But enough, maybe it's like 10 power or so.
Well, I used to live in the East Coast. Before I came to America, I lived in the East Coast of Scotland in a little place called Musselburgh. And it was right next to the estuary of the sea. And there was a lot of seagulls and swans and, you know, boats coming through and stuff like that. And there was also another piece of land across the other side of the estuary. And a lot of great sunsets and, you know, moonlit nights and stuff like that. And there was one time I wondered if there would be the capability of being able to look through the binoculars and actually press a button and actually tape what you were looking at. And then I saw online that somebody had this, produced these binoculars with an ability to tape something, you know, record something.
Sure. Yeah.
But then I soon realized that the recording mechanism they had on it was just a cheap camera, and what you were actually seeing through the camera was only something close up and wasn't what you were looking at through the lens,
which was
hugely disappointing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pastor, before we got here, Andy and I were talking about snakes in the Catskills. And when I was a kid growing up, my understanding was that there were basically no dangerous or poisonous snakes in New York State. And I've been seeing articles recently that there are, in fact, like timber rattlers and copperheads. Have you ever come across that hiking in the Catskills, or have you heard anything about that?
I haven't come across any rattler, but I've come across lots of snakes.
Yeah.
Many a time hiking, you see a beautiful rock to sit down, and you sit down, and all of a sudden you look down, and there's about two or three snakes sunning themselves. Maybe you find a different rock.
Fortunately, those must have been the harmless
right.
version.
Yeah. I didn't hear any rattlers or anything like that. So.
Now, can I just ask, Pastor, you said that you worked with people who had been stricken by cancer years ago. Where was that?
That was at MD Anderson Hospital in Houston, Texas. Right. MD Anderson's probably the largest cancer hospital in the country. I was there as a physical therapist some 35 years ago, long time ago. Everything's changed in terms of treatment for cancer, but still people are wounded and hurting from that process.
What I was going to say there is, you know, the treatments have changed, but the people's fear and how they handle bad news has changed. It hasn't really changed, has it?
Not at all. If it's you that have it, and you look at the odds, where the odds are 50% of survival or 20%, you still know that there's it's a real battle and a real struggle.
Yeah.
So it's
my girlfriend is a oncology nurse navigator in Vassar, Vassar Hospital. And she talks a lot about, you know, she doesn't obviously talk about patients specifically, but she talks about, you know, people, obviously, when they get bad news, how they deal with it and how she deals with it. And, you know, it takes a special person to work in that environment, you know. And I think when you're working with people who are, you know, finding in a life or death situation, I think what must come up a lot is the issue of spirituality and, you know, the need to find solace within themselves and find, you know, peace with a higher power, namely God. And was that something that you found a lot?
I observed that, and that was part of what inspired me to become a pastor. But I observed that people who went in another direction, it's easy to become bitter. You know, you get this cancer, you're at age 35, what is this about?
Yeah.
And if you turn to God, I think you can find peace and comfort and hope by yourself. It's kind of hard to find that in the midst of such a battle against yourself, against you know, this disease battling against you. It's hard to find solace when without God, I think.
I mean, it's, I suppose from my point of view, it's okay for me to say, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. You know, if I was told tomorrow, God forbid, you know, that, you know, you have a 90% chance of dying of some rare disease, you know, how would I feel? Would I be angry? Would I seek some guidance from God? I don't really know, if I'm being honest, how I would react at that moment.
Mm.
It's difficult.
Yeah.
Right.
Pastor, have you ever seen an incredible recovery, something that, you know, beat the odds or that was unexpected in your time in medicine or as a pastor?
I would say yes, that I have. A lot of factors go into play with that.
Hmm.
You know, and I would say that most often the physicians are right in their diagnosis and in their prognosis, but once in a while they're wrong. And what is that? You know, is that the power of the human body? Is that the power of God? I'm not in a position to say, but but yeah, people have made incredible recoveries, or people have had comebacks that were thought to be impossible, not only from cancer but from other disease. People who are, you know, the doctors essentially gave up, but they didn't, and they were able to come back.
And I suppose that's, I suppose when you're in that situation, you either sink or swim, don't you? You say, right, okay, I'm giving up, or I'm fighting to the death here, you know?
Yeah. This is where you need that song from Rocky.
Yeah.
Lying there, you know, and it's next minute. or do you hear?
Oh, yeah. But it's a challenge for people. It's tough, and many of us are going to be faced with that challenge physically, but also emotionally, from difficulties that aren't of the body, but of losses and losses of a job. That's a tough challenge to face, and it can be overwhelming for people. Or losses of a relationship in some way, or the death of a child is so incredibly difficult. Mm-hmm. And so people will face these situations, and I guess for me, facing them with God is a tremendous help and ally, as opposed to facing them by yourself.
Mm. Well, I agree. So that's a healthy way of looking at it. So
yeah.
And some people say, well, religion's a crutch. And you know what? I'm a physical therapist. Crutches are good. And when you got a bad leg, a crutch is good. When you got a real bad hurt, a crutch is good. So
yeah.
I'm glad to have a crutch. For
that's a good way of looking at
these circumstances.
Yeah. Excellent. Now your next song. Your next song is by Harry Chapin or Chapin.
Harry Chapin. Yeah, Harry Chapin. He was from Long Island.
Yes,
yeah,
from
the same town area, the same region that I grew up in. I didn't know him, although I did see one of his concerts.
Right.
He died about 1982. Tragically, very tragic young death.
He was about 39 or something, wasn't he? Was it a heart attack? Or was
He was driving a Volkswagen on the Long Island Expressway. I believe it was a July day in 82 or so.
Yeah.
And got into an accident.
Gosh.
And it was a horrendous loss to humanity. He was such a humanitarian. Such a caring person, fighting against world hunger, all kinds of different fronts.
Yeah,
and what a musician, what a storyteller! I don't know if anyone. Well, Jim Croce was a great storyteller. Billy Joel, great storyteller, but Harry Chapin, all his songs told these stories that just came alive.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
And you had the privilege to see him live.
I saw him live, and I heard this song for the first time live. It wasn't on the radio yet, and I heard it at Huntington High School. He was doing a charity fundraiser, mm-hmm. and I was maybe 20 years old, and a friend and I went, and he sang that song, first time we ever heard it, and it was just silent at the end when he said, "And he grown up just like me." My boy was, it was stunning mm-hmm. to hear that.
Well, could you tell us what the song's about? I mean, it's a beautiful song, I have to say. It's one of my favorites, actually.
The song is about...
What's it called, actually? What's it called?
Cats in the Cradle.
Yep.
Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin. And the song is about a father and a baby's born, and the father's busy. And he's living his life, doing the things he has to do, but not spending time with his son. The theme that replays over and over is, "We'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then." But that never happens. Mm-hmm. And it goes through various parts of the life cycle. And now the son is coming back home from college.
Yeah.
And the son uses the same line to his father. Yeah. And then the son has his own family, his own life. And the father is getting old. And the father says, "Come on by." And he uses the same line, you know, "Dad, it's kids have the flu. I'm busy, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know, we'll get together then." And then the father concludes. He says, "And it came to me that my son was just like me. He's grown up just like me."
It's quite poignant, isn't it?
It's pretty powerful in terms of,
yeah.
A generation of fathers heard that song. And some of us experienced busy fathers who didn't have a lot of time for us. And a lot of fathers, I think, were inspired to invest time in the lives of their children. So yeah. it has been a song that I think has had impact on a lot of fathers. You know, perhaps millions of fathers in the country who were taught through that song to invest time now with their children while they're young and not just be focused on career and other responsibilities that they have. So I think it's a song that did make a difference in the generation of fathers that I'm in.
My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, "I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you." And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, "Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw?" I said, "Not today. I got a lot to do." He said, "That's okay." And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. And said, "I'm gonna be like him. Yeah, you know I'm gonna be like him." And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, the little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know. Then you know we'll have a good time then.
nearly came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. Since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time there.
That was Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC ACRA, that's 90.7 FM. Today in the studio, we have Pastor Victor Nelson. Pastor, we were talking, and I had remembered one time in church, you said spending a lot of time with folks that are near the end, looking back, you'd never heard people say, I wish I had spent more time in the office, or I wish I had spent more time working. that always kind of, that stuck with me, that it's important to prioritize. And, yeah, you know, it's easy to get, I think, swept up.
Right. And for most people, at their funeral, their employer never shows up.
Mm. Yeah.
One way or another way. You know, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And what counts is family and friends, and a relationship with God. These are things that people regret, you know, is that they didn't spend enough time with family or friends or with God. You know,
yeah.
Harry Chapin reminds us in this song to invest the time while you have it with particularly children. You know,
yeah.
If God gives you children, to invest the time there too.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's, you've got to give yourself time to sit down and smell the roses and have a cup of coffee and breathe and relax and regenerate yourself so that you can have time to think and, you know, realize what's important to you and what's important in your life. And those aspects that you're talking about, family, friends, God, spirituality, these are all things that are important to you in your life. And I think, you know, in this day and age, when work is at more time than ever, is the dominant thing that people aspire to do, you know, getting that manager's job and, you know, promotion and getting that big house and the new car and all that.
Yeah.
You know, it's at the end up, one of my favorite musical artists had a song, and I always remember one of the lines in the song, and it's, you know, chasing your male friends, chasing this and chasing that, as if it was everything, when in actual fact it's nothing. And at the end of every day, when you're lying in bed, the only thing that you have and you can hear is the sound of your own breathing and your thoughts.
Yeah. Right.
I saw a great quote, and I don't know who said it, but it goes something like this. The urgent is seldom important. And the important is seldom urgent.
Right.
And so relationships are, you know, seemingly not urgent, but they're so important.
Yeah.
And the flat tire and, you know, other issues that we have are really so unimportant. But, man, they get all our attention.
Yeah.
And so it's really kind of carefully looking at your life, your time, and where's it going?
Yeah.
And do you really want to go on in that way? I think it's important for people to examine that.
Yeah, so you've got to give yourself time to relax and do things that you enjoy, like hiking. And when you go hiking, you need things like...
Like hiking shoes.
Hiking shoes.
Sure, you do.
Which takes us to our next item on your list, hiking shoes.
Well, you need to have good boots in case a rattlesnake comes along.
That's right.
You don't want them to take you out there. And to protect the ankle, you know, you're walking out there, rocks and roots, and it's so easy to twist an ankle.
Yep.
And so good boots to avoid the ankle twist, as well as to be able to cover a good distance comfortably. You know, it could be wet, it could be snow, you know, various elements. So you want to have a good pair of boots to enjoy and getting out. That's the critical thing. You want to get out and see different dimensions of the Catskills and take the Escarpment Trail or hike up in North Lake and South Lake.
That is assuming that these things are in walking distance from the Catskill cabin.
That's true.
That you're going to be in.
Right. Yeah. There's something. There's going to be something, but we don't know what. I don't know where the cabin is. But
it's in a secluded area.
But there's trails up there that are kind of hidden. There's waterfalls that are hidden. There are all kinds of different things that people don't know are there until you get out there.
Now, what kind of shoes currently do you have?
I don't know. I just have nice soles that I don't slip as much, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not really a person who knows all those dimensions of things.
Right. Here's the reason I'm asking. I've seen Mike wearing these glove-like shoes. Mm. What are they called, Mike?
Those are the Vibram Five Fingers.
Have you ever seen these?
I've seen them for runners to wear things like that.
They have a casual line and a running line, cross training, and they also have hiking shoes. I have runners, right. I don't have the hiking
which
ones.
I find quite ironic because you don't run. Because if I remember the last time in our last show, you said that people who run are weirdos.
Well, we're all a little bit weird.
Yeah, just a little bit weird.
I'm one of those weirdos. I run, but I don't run with finger shoes.
Yeah, no, that's an extra step of weird. Because I was interested in the whole like minimalist idea. All my life, I had worn thick sneakers and had some foot problems and knee problems. And I thought, I'll give these Five Fingers a try. And I really enjoyed them. And I have taken them hiking, although I don't think that's really desirable, especially if you're backpacking. You've got 40, 50, 60 pounds on your back. Then it's good to have some.
Sturdy shoes,
high top shoes. Because
as Pastor was saying, that maybe protect your ankle.
Yeah, because and I have a tendency, I think, to roll my ankles. And there have been many times out hiking where I was saved by my hiking shoes that are strong and leather. And once you break them in, they're awesome. They feel great. Although, curiously, I've met a lot of people on the Appalachian Trail, and a lot of people wear sneakers. But I think that's unique to the Appalachian Trail. I think, they're trying to get 20, 25 miles a day, and they're just going super light. And the idea is cut the weight, be as comfortable as you can. And the thing, sneakers.
So it isn't naivety then?
Oh, yeah, it's not, or an experience.
It's not just like two people saying, oh, let's.
No.
Right.
No, and the idea is that I think a nice lightweight pair of sneakers will get wet immediately and then dry quickly, whereas thick leather boots will be water resistant, but then once they're wet, you got a wet foot for a couple days probably. So that's I found what they do that I've always thought is interesting.
So you're saying that you can buy hiking tool things?
The Five Fingers?
Yeah.
They've got those for hiking.
Wow, didn't you know that?
Yeah, but I've heard that those. Those rattlesnakes are attracted to them.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm glad that you've warned me.
You just hold on, John. There's that guy again with the five-finger shoes. Let's go and check him out.
Hiking in the middle of the Catskills, take out a map to get my bearings, put the map away, look down, and there's like 10 snakes around me. Oh, my God. They're attracted to the green print.
So there you are, Pastor. You need to go and buy a pair of Five Fingers.
That's right.
Now, you mentioned you run. Do you actually run? Yes.
Yeah, I run a couple times a week.
Right.
I play some basketball, and in order to keep in shape, I run. And
so how many miles do you run in?
Usually about 3 miles at a time, sometimes five, but three is probably average.
Right. Okay.
And just to stay in shape so I can do other stuff.
Yeah, that's excellent. I run about 3 times a week.
Oh, that's great.
Maybe about 5 miles at a time. So.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And you know, I love it. You know, I love running. So it's as long as my knees and my hips keep, you know, pain free, then I'll continue running. You know, and my lungs don't give up. You know, but I would like to try these five finger shoes to see if they help. You know, with my posture when I run.
The idea is that, you know, humans for millennia were barefoot or had very, very minimal sandals. You know, we found sandals from 7,000-8,000 BC, leather shoes 5,500 years ago, from 5,500 years ago found in Armenia. But they're really, you know, just to kind of protect people's feet from rocks and getting scraped and cut.
Thorns and stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, they're not thick, you know, Reebok pump. You know,
yeah, but those folks who wore those, their average lifespan was 33 years.
That's true. That is true. And that's the key. If we all just had better shoes, that's the whole Western civilization is the shoes.
I'm afraid you have 6 months to live. Mm-hmm. I mean, had you been wearing Nike Air?
Yeah, Nike Airs, you know, all along. Oh, that's man. Right. It wasn't the smoking or the other. Nope, it was the sneakers. Sorry. Thank heavens for 21st century medicine. And, you know, talking about dying, your next song is Live Like You Were Dying by Tim McGraw. Why that song?
Now, I'm not really a country fan, but I like the theme of this song. I think it's a biblical thought because we are dying. And I had a couple of incidences when I was young that brought the reality of my mortality to me. And that reality was so helpful. It altered the course of my life. And so if we feel this threat of death and realize that life is short, we're going to make wiser choices than if we think we got plenty of time, because you don't know how much time you got. And if you think you got, even if you got 90 years, you talk to a 90-year-old, that's not a lot of time.
Yeah.
And I think the theme of this song by Tug McGraw is really a fantastic theme for people to ponder.
And it's slightly similar to the first song, or the second song that we played, Cat in the Cradle, because it's about a relationship between a son and a father. The father is dying of cancer, and the son, you know,
gets the lesson,
realizes that, and takes that as the lesson. Live like you're dying.
Right.
You said I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me, when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options, and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full moon. Said someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. He said I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't, and I became a friend a friend wouldn't like to have. All of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition, and I went 3 times that year. I lost my dad. Well, I finally
I do if I could do it all again? And then I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full name moon. Said someday I hope you get the chance to live like you would die. Like tomorrow was a gift and you got eternity. Think about what you do with it. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full name Fu Manchu. Then I loved deeper and I spoke sweeter and I watched an eagle as it was flying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying.
Live Like You Were Dying by Tim McGraw. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXE 90.7 FM. Now, Pastor, your next item is a family picture. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm blessed with a great family. I came from a great family. My mother and father had 8 kids and just a great family. My father's still alive at age 91. I was blessed with a wonderful wife. Mike knows my wife, Marcia. She's just a great person. And what a privilege it is to be married to her. And then I have 4 children that are each in their own way terrific. And what a joy. So if I'm in a cabin, I'd like to be reminded of these blessings in my life. So a picture of a family would be something I'd certainly want to see.
Excellent. And do you have any pets?
Say that one more time.
Pets.
Pets. I don't at this moment. I had a great dog for about 12 years, right, and died about 6 years ago. And we're finally free. When the kids move out and the dog dies, you're kind of free. we didn't replace that dog, but a wonderful German Shepherd that we did have.
Yeah. Right, right.
And Pastor, this picture of your family, is it any picture in particular, like on a vacation or at a reunion? Is there one that you have in mind?
Well, I have 2 in mind, I guess. When I think of I think of my children when they were young, it's a great picture when we were at Rocky Mountain National Park.
See, does this Rocky again? Rocky.
Hopefully wearing nice leather boots to protect yourselves from snakes. No,
wearing those finger shoes.
Watching Jaws in the car on the way.
And then just as adults with my daughter holding
binoculars.
Her children. No. Her children. Her, the grandchildren. And just to be reminded of the tremendous blessing that that comes through family.
Yeah.
Pastor, your last item is a Bible. Why a Bible? Maybe that's a silly question to ask.
I was about to say, yeah.
Anyone listening is like, dumb.
You're out in nature, and you see all the beauty and wonder and glory. It's nice to be reminded of the one who created all that. You see, the creation is to lift us up to the Creator. And having the Bible there reminds me of who made all and who gave himself for me, Jesus Christ, on the cross, who is with me always, no matter, you know, I'm alone in the cabin, but the Lord is with me. And having his scripture nearby, his guidance, his direction, his hope, his forgiveness is a great source. And I wouldn't really want to go anywhere without the scriptures.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Did a little reading about the Bible, and we've had guests in the past bring Bibles, and
I think you brought a Bible when you were on.
Yeah, yeah. We've learned some interesting. You know, we look up some fun facts and things, and I found that dogs are mentioned 41 times in the Bible. You know, talking about dogs, but cats are never mentioned, and I think that speaks to cats.
You know? I'm not sure. If you look at the use of the word dog, it's not really used in very positive ways.
Oh, okay.
So it may be the cats may actually come a little better being omitted.
Come on, the cats.
Than the dogs who are discussed, but not in a very positive way for the most part.
Andy's kitty Ruby would appreciate this conversation.
Actually, Ruby has actually been on the show a couple of times because sometimes we've recorded at our house in the mountains and you can hear Ruby in the background.
Chasing some poor animal that's in a gladiator style.
Has there been any other animals mentioned in the Bible?
Oh, sure. Lots of animals are mentioned, all, you know, whether it's deer. One passage of scripture says, as a deer thirsts for water, so my soul thirsts for thee, O God. There are sea monsters and sea creatures that are mentioned.
Right.
And there are... of course, bear and lion. As a matter of fact, Jesus is portrayed as two things, which are kind of contradictory, but both are true, as a lamb, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, as well as a lion, the Lion of Judah, who is strong to save his people.
Right.
So there's many illustrations in the Bible about animals. But I like the thought in terms of going back to the dog. Mm. Dog, as you probably know, spelled backward, is God.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any more loyal creature than a dog. Just incredibly loyal to his master, if you want to say, to his family. And unconditionally loyal. It doesn't matter if you're the president of the United States or if you're unemployed. Your dog, if you treat him kindly, loves you.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of God's unconditional love for each person also. It doesn't matter, you know, what you have or what position you are in. God's love is still there for you. And so dog and God, they kind of, in a way, go together.
Yeah. And we have been talking about snakes today, and snakes are absolutely mentioned in the Bible, not in the most flattering way. And I think that speaks to their usefulness as pets as well. Anybody would have... his pet snake, and never understood that.
I was trying to come up with an animal that the name backwards would mean something, but I can't. I thought rat, tar, there's no correlation there.
Cat, jack, bird, drib. Well, your last song, Pastor, is Amazing Grace by John Newton. See, he was a sailor in the English Navy in the mid-18th century, and was a rough character, to put it lightly. He even went so far as to invent new swear words when others weren't bad enough. He participated in the slave trade and then had to turn around and became a Christian and wrote this song. Why Amazing Grace, Pastor?
Well, you described John Newton, and he was a wretched man. You think of the worst person you know, and that's John Newton. And the horrendous things he did, participating in the slave trade, just got awful. But yet, this man found forgiveness. And he wrote this song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He knew his condition, and yet he found the grace of God. He was lost, but God found him. He was blind, but God enabled him to see. So it's a tremendous testimony of God's mercy and God's forgiveness that I think I need. I need every day that mercy and forgiveness. And that's why I like it. I need God's amazing grace, and I'm thankful for it.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught
my heart to hear, and grace my fears raised. A precious sin and grace appear, me out I must believe.
My chains are gone.
Yeah.
amazing love, amazing grace, amazing love, amazing grace.
That was Amazing Grace by John Newton. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC 90.7 FM Acre. In the studio, we have had a very pleasant conversation with Pastor Victor Nelson. Thank you for coming in, Pastor. It's been a pleasure listening to your stories. Now, before we go, we have one question we like to ask everybody. And the question is, Mike,
Pastor, how do you take your coffee?
You know what? I haven't had a cup of coffee in 40 years.
No kidding.
What? I'm serious.
What happened? Was there like an event?
Yeah, it was an all-nighter in college. And I just drank a lot of coffee, and I didn't feel very good. The next day, didn't do so good on my test, and I just never was interested in coffee since.
Oh, so there's a negative connotation attached to the coffee. You didn't do well in his test.
And I didn't feel good either.
He didn't feel good, so he's associating the coffee with failure. Thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate you taking the time out to have a chat with us, and thank you very much.
Thanks for the privilege. Hi, I'm Pastor Victor Nelson, and you've been listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acre 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon, and Billy from the band Wait for the theme music, and to everyone at WGXC. Thanks!